Evening. I'm thankful that I'm able to do this and present a lesson to you all this evening, and invite you to open up your Bibles to where the scripture reading was found this evening, in Psalms chapter, or Proverbs chapter 3. We'll be starting there, and that's where the lesson is going to be coming from tonight. And Brian, the songs are excellent. Thank you. It's good to see everyone that made it out tonight. We're thankful for the presence of all. To trust in God. To trust in God. What does it mean to fully trust in God? Imagine someone laying helpless on the floor, face down. There's no way they can get off the floor. They need someone. They're dependent upon someone to get them off the floor and into a chair. Imagine someone, say, on our taxes, that ask us, do we have dependents? And we write off, for those who have children, we write off, yeah, we have dependents. How many? Because our children depend upon the parents to provide for them, to care for them. But what does it mean to fully trust in the Lord? Solomon writes here in Proverbs chapter 3. These are three of my favorite verses in the book of Proverbs. Because you can gain a lot of strength and a lot of encouragement out of these three verses. But he says, starting in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It means you are dependent 100% upon God. You cannot survive without God. You cannot live without God in you. 100% dependent. God is one that you can trust in. God will never forsake you. God will never leave you. He is there. I read of a story of a lady that suffers from some psychological issues. And when she was a child, she had some issues with her father. And what her father would do is stand out on the front porch, down below the porch, and he would stand there and he'd say, "Jump, I'll catch you." And this lady would jump and he would step out of the way. And he'd say to her, "Don't trust anyone." And just think about that for a moment. A father doing this to his child. It says that he was doing that from when she was 3 years old. But she wanted to trust him because he was her father. So she kept going back to him. But it got to the point later in her life that she began to listen to her father and not trust anyone. So she had some serious trust issues with any person she'd come in contact with. God is never going to step out of the way. God is there to catch us every time we fall. We have to choose God. And so to fully trust in God, you are 100% dependent upon God. You turn your life over to God. Well, in these three verses, I think there's a few things that come out. And some things that we can do and what He commands us to do to trust in the Lord. And so what I want to read, we're going to read through these verses, and we're going to bring out a few bulletin points as we go through. So starting here in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. It says, do not lean on your own understanding. What Solomon is saying here, it says, don't lean on yourself. You don't know all of the answers. You don't have the map. God is the one that you need to listen to. We're not as knowledgeable as God. God is much higher, much wiser in every aspect than we are. And we can find that in Isaiah 55, where it tells us that His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It is foolish. It is foolish for us to think that we have God beat on wisdom. God is so wise. He is so much wiser than us. And for us to think that we don't need Him is foolishness for mankind. It's foolish that we don't think we need help from God. No, there are certain times in our lives that we might struggle. We might have questions and concerns on what's going on in our lives. Why are these things happening to me? And I'm sure those are questions and simple questions that all of us has asked ourselves at one time. Maybe even asked God. And we might pray to God and ask Him to help us. And like, why are these things happening to me? Why does this always happen to me? Thinking that no one else suffers the way I suffer. It's not up to us to know why God does what He does. And why He allows these certain trials to come upon us. But it is up to us to trust God and to lean upon God. It is up to us to listen to the answer that God gives us. You know, God sees the whole picture. He sees the whole picture. But we only see the corner of that picture. We don't see what God sees. God sees our whole life. From before we came to where we are now to after. He sees the whole picture. And we see just the corner of that picture. God knows what is best for every one of us. And for us to think that we don't need Him directing us is foolishness. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." We might think we're on the right path. We might think we're headed down the right road. But the way, the end of it, is death. Death is what happens when we choose not to listen to God, when we choose to lean upon our own understanding. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Like I said, we may not know or ever understand why God does what He does. We may not understand how God causes all things to work together for good, but it is up to us to trust and to lean upon the Lord, because God is never going to fail us. God is never going to forsake us. Those who choose to serve Him, He will always be there whenever you need Him. In Psalms 119 and verse 142, it says, "Your righteousness is everlasting righteousness." Everlasting. Never fades away. "Your righteousness is everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth." Solomon says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Going into verse 6. "In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." To acknowledge Him. What Solomon is not saying here is if you would see someone in the grocery store that you recognize and you nod at them. You acknowledge their presence. You may shake their hand. That's not what he's saying. It's not saying just nod. Yes, I know God is there. That's not what he's saying. I believe what he is saying here, when he says to acknowledge God, he says, invite God into every area of your life. Know that God is there and acknowledge Him in every aspect of your life. Make God part of you. Let God live in you. That's what Paul tells us in Romans. That we are the temple of God. And God is to reside in us. In everything that we do. In everything that we say. God should be living in us. We need to consult God. Anytime we make a decision. whether it's career or maybe schooling or different friendships, simple things even at home, whether it's your bills, whether you're where you're going to live, what you're going to do, where you're going on vacation, any time, is it not important that we talk to God and pray to God about these things? Consult God. God is there to talk to. God is there to offer wisdom and insight and be there to comfort you. But He's not only there to just answer every beck and need that you have. He's also there when you acknowledge His presence, knowing that He is an awesome God and you're thankful to have Him living in you. We are to acknowledge God. You know, it says there that He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. It's not saying that you get to choose whatever path you want to walk now, and He'll straighten that curvy road out. What He is saying is, I have a path. He's already chose a path. He's not going to let you choose a path and bless it. He's already chose a path. He wants you to choose His path that He has already blessed, and He will keep that path straight. That path is already set for us to follow. It's up to us whether or not we're going to follow that path or choose one on our own. God wants us to choose His way. In Philippians chapter 4, it tells us there that we need to make our requests known unto God. We need Him to direct our path. We need to pray to Him and talk to Him. He is there for that. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray to God. Talk to God. And it's important. With trust comes faith with God. Faith towards God. In James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask what? Ask in faith, without any doubting. Without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. When we allow God to live in us, we acknowledge that God is living in us. It should be second nature to us that no matter what decision we make or anything that we do, God is who we talk to first. It should be second nature. We shouldn't have to sit down at the table and begin to eat and then think, hey, I need to pray to God and thank Him for our food. Second nature, when you sit down, you know that this is the Lord's that has blessed me with this. When we take a road trip, it should be second nature that before we even start the car, we pray to God and ask Him for safety as we travel. It should be second nature knowing that anything that we do, anything that we say, we consult God before we go on. Acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Allow God to live in you, and He will keep you on the straight and narrow. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. As I read this and I read through this passage, I look at this verse and I say, Solomon is really wanting to get people to understand that you are not to lean on your own understanding. Don't think you are wiser than God. Don't think that you are wiser than God, that you have all the answers. Listen to God. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And then he says there, the end of verse 7, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It does not mean to be afraid of God. What it's saying here is to revere the Lord. Respect God. Know who God is. what he is capable of. It's proper respect for God. When you say that you're going to respect God, that means you're turning your life over to God and you're going to listen to God. You're going to stop participating or being around anything that is going to put a wedge between you and God. You're going to stop that. Because if there is a wedge between you and God, you do not have contact with God. And sin is that wedge, and it will keep you separated from God as long as you're allowing these things to enter into our lives. We have to have a closeness with God. A closeness with God that is so close that there is even no way that a wedge is going to be able to split us up from God. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. Loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. How was iniquity atoned for? The loving kindness and the truth of God. God allowed our sins to be atoned for. And then the fear of the Lord is one who does what? Keeps away from evil. One that chooses not to allow evil to come into their life. In Psalms chapter 27 and verse 1. In Psalms chapter 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When we fear the Lord and we trust in the Lord, we have no need to fear anything else. Who am I going to fear if God is on my side? God is going to defend my life if I choose to serve Him. Whom shall I fear? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Allow Him to be in you. Allow Him to live in you. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And fear the Lord and turn away from evil. There are times in our lives that we struggle, that things may not go according to our plan. We don't have a plan. We might have a plan as far as thinking about the future, but God has our lives already mapped out. We need to trust in the Lord. It's not saying don't plan or don't think about your future, but know that we are to consult God and trust in God that no matter what comes, maybe we have our heart set on this certain school that we're going to go to. We got this degree that we're going to get. But halfway through, things just don't work out. You need to understand that God is directing that step. And you need to trust in the Lord that God is going to take care of you no matter what comes, if you trust in Him. And that is the key. Do you trust in the Lord? Trusting in the Lord. When things don't go the way that we think, it makes it easier to get over that hump if you trust in the Lord. Knowing that God is going to provide. Knowing that God is going to care for us no matter what comes what may. We're going to be able to make it. But there's times in our lives that we struggle, that we get depressed. We begin to ask that question, why is this happening? Thinking it's only happening to us, that no one else suffers. Solomon tells us we need to look to God for guidance. What better example than Job? Turn to Job chapter 1. Job suffered greatly. Job lost all of his possessions. He lost his family, lost his health. Job suffered greatly. But what did Job do? We said there in verse 20, after all these things happened to him. And Satan was first allowed to test Job. Whenever his family passed there, starting in verse 20, then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head and gave up. That's not what it says. Job did not just give up, but he fell to the ground and he worshiped. He worshiped. And he recognized, he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can we say that? When things don't go as planned, and things happen and we may not be in a good position, can we still say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord"? Can we still have faith and trust in God that God is going to care for us? Or are we going to be like Job's wife? In chapter 2, she says in verse 9, then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." Curse God and die. As we see, Job did not listen to his wife. He did not allow family to direct his paths. But he trusts in the Lord. He says, "You speak as a foolish woman speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" And in this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job recognized how awesome God was. He recognized that no matter what happens, these terrible things happen to him, that he was going to trust in the Lord. He was going to worship God. He was going to continue to bless the name of the Lord. Job was dependent upon God. His wife said, "Curse God and die." She gave up. What are we going to do? In times of adversity, when things don't go as planned, do we just give up? Give up on life? You just say, "Well, whatever, I'm just going to go off and do this. Forget it. I give up." Or are we going to sit down and pray and consult God and trust that that didn't work out, but God has a plan? Trust in the Lord. If you trust in the Lord, He is going to provide. He is going to care for you. And in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's a shorter lesson this evening, but some powerful points out of those three verses. Question for you tonight: are you going to call upon God to be your God? It says, "Be courageous. Your God is with you wherever you go." Have you chose the Almighty God to be your God? Because if you have not called upon the name of the Lord and done what He has commanded us to do in order to serve Him, in order to have a relationship with Him, He is not yet your God. God wants all of us to come to an understanding of the truth and come to a knowledge of His will for us. We need to always recognize that no matter what happens, God's will is always going to be done. But if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, God is still God, but He is not your God because you have not chose Him. He has chose all of us to serve Him. We have to make the decision whether or not we're going to serve Him. But if you choose to serve Him, He can be your God. He wants to be your God. He gives us opportunities He gives us an opportunity to one day live with Him on high, to be with Him. We can be with our Father, but we have to choose to serve Him. And if things in your life, if you're struggling with things, God is there to comfort you. I find a tremendous amount of comfort knowing that God is with me. Things don't always go according to how I see as what I have planned. But Christine and I are very blessed. God takes care of us every day. We have no worries. We might worry, but there is no need to worry because we know that God is there. Choose God tonight. He wants to be your God. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, we encourage you to do so. God tells us in order for us to have a life with Him, we need to come to understanding that there is sin in our lives. And that sin keeps us separated from God. And the only way to have a relationship with God is acknowledge that that sin separates us, and we don't want that sin to separate us anymore. We don't want that wedge between us and God. We want to choose to serve God, so we're going to have that wedge removed by being dipped into the water grave of baptism with Christ. That is how we begin our walk with Christ. As we confess that Christ is the Lord, the Savior, the Son of the living God, we can begin to walk in newness of life, as Romans chapter 6 tells us to. We begin that walk with God. We're not perfect. There's going to be times in our lives that we will fall short of God's glory. But it's important that we come to a realization that that sin cannot be between us and God. That wedge cannot be there. It has to be removed in order for us to have a relationship with God. Where are you at tonight? Have you made the commitment to serve God? If you haven't, we implore you to do that this evening. If you have, and there's things in your life and you're struggling, there's a sense of depression in your life, or anything that you may be struggling with, knowing that there are times that you may worry, God is there to comfort. And we are here as a family to comfort as well. Whatever your need is, we encourage you to make it known and come forward as we stand and as we sing.